Okay, so I'm so excited that we're actually going to learn something that's relevant in the end of the year. We've rigged the calendar that we can learn something about Hilchos Chanukah now. When we speak about the intricacies of Hilchos Chanukah, so there are two issues that converge together that cause the most confusion and the most shailas. So we'll try to work these two sugyas together. Hey, mitam is mana gemara, hey, mitam is mana zeh. Try to figure out what the practical applications are. And that's the issue of the mocham hadlocha and the zman hadlocha. We'll see as we go on, the two issues become very, very much intertwined with one another. So when we begin the Sugya Nes Chanukah with the Mokum Hadloka, so we realize right away that Chazal were walking a tightrope, that they were in a little bit of a quandary when they were misaking the details of Nes Chanukah, because there were almost like two factors that they were trying to balance against one another. One is, clearly Chanukah is Pirsum Nisa oriented, so we want to try to be Mefaris and Venes as much as possible. So that would indicate to us, it would make the most sense to put the candles mamish in the most public arena as one can do. On the other hand, Chazal wanted that the candle should relate to one's bias as well. It definitely is a notion of one's bias. Even the very institution that Chazal, when Mesaka Neres Chanukah Ner Yishu Beisa, the fact that that the Bnei HaBayis can be yaitzeh together with what HaLokha Mikra did, and that in and of itself indicates that this is very house-oriented. Tosis even raises the question, the guy doesn't have a house at all, maybe he's mamash. The Gami Potter for the mitzvah, there's no mitzvah. It means the bias is an integral part of the chiv of Neres Chanukah. So the question is, so where exactly the best place to light the menorah? On the one hand, you want to be mefarsif as much as possible, so that would put it in the highway. On the other hand, it should be in the bias. In the bias, the problem is there's no one in the bias except for the Bnei HaBayis. No one's going to see the menorah. So what do you do? So Chazal came up with this grandiose idea. They'll have a little bit of both. That will light it, not mamish inside the bias, but will light it somuch to the bias. We'll light it very, very close to the house. So we'll get that bias component, which was clearly an important component to the mitzvah. On the other hand, we'll do it in such a way that it's not behind locked doors of the bias. It'll still be able to get, although not necessarily the greatest amount of Pesum Anisa, but sufficient Pesum Anisa, so we can literally have a cake and eat it. That was the goal. That's clearly the background of what's going on over here. So therefore, Chazal and Mesaka and Neres Chanukah, a very, very strange way. The Tanur Rabban and Kate said, where do you put the menorah? So Madlika Mibachutz, so you put it right on the outside. The outside of where exactly? So that's a big one, like it's Rashi and Tosis. So you have to know the Leirvim for this, to know what the layout of the houses were in the days of Chazal. So basically you had private houses, and then you had, let's say, five private houses, and they opened up to a common courtyard. So you had this common chotzer, that people hung the laundry in the chotzer, I remember they played ball in the chotzer, they sat around on the beach chairs, whatever it is, a public little public area. And then you had multiple chatzeiros with multiple batim, and then all those chatzeiros would eventually open up into a mavui. So a mavui was much more public than the chatzer. It wasn't the Mamish, the highway, it wasn't the main street yet, it was the beginning of the street. Then the mavuos would spill over into the Rishus Sarabim. So when Chazal said he's supposed to be Madik Mibachutz, so there's Machlokes Rashi, does Mibachutz of where? So Rashi says Mibachutz of the bias. That means everybody should be lighting, basically the menorahs are in the chatzer. It's supposed to be each one on the Pesach HaBayis. So you have your cake and eat it. So on the one hand, it's very, very mitzuruf to the bayis. On the other hand, it's not behind closed doors to the bayis. It's in a place where the other Bnei Chatz are going to see it. Of course, the problem is, according to Rashi, you're being a little bit more machmir on the bayis part, being a little bit more mezalzel on the Pirsum Anisa. So Tosfos says that's not the pshat. Tosfos says, do you come from the Gemara? That's not the pshat. But the pshat is that you light a Pesach HaChotzer, or Mibachutz, that even though it's true that you'll get a lot more Pirsum Anisa in that way, because you'll get the Bnei HaMavui, who are just about walking through the street anyway, so you'll get a lot more traffic on the Pesach HaChotzer. The problem is that it's not really been served to the bias. So how does lighting in the Pesach HaChotzer, how does that solve the bias dilemma? So clearly, Tosfos is of the opinion that the Chotzer is like an extension of the bias. That's the heart of Tosfos, that we view the Chotzer is kind of like, you know, just the outer room. I share that outer room with the other five members of the Chotzer, but it's still considered to be enough close, though it's not in the middle of the street, it's close enough to my bias to get both advantages. How do we pass it on Locha? So we pass like Tosfos La'alocha, but the place can point out, let's say you don't have this kind of a setup. Let's say you don't have batim to chatzeros to Rosh Hashanah's areas. So then everyone agrees to Rashi's not wrong. Rashi, Tosfos just says that if you can maximize the Pesum Anisa, a Pesach HaChotzer b'yof, matov manoim. But if you don't have a Pesach HaChotzer, so you put it on the Pesach HaBayis, and whoever's walking in the street, that's the story. So most of us don't really have a batim, chatzeros, mavuos, Rosh Hashanah. That whole setup doesn't really exist in most places. Most places you have a, so I live on Rector Court, so my house opens up to the street. So there's this chatzer, this mavuos, it opens up to the main thoroughfare, the Rosh Hashanah. So l'chora, if you just follow the footsteps of Ein Rashi, Ein Taisu, so the correct place to light the menorah would probably be up past the habayis, right outside. So that way you get, it's close enough to my bayis, to be part of my bayis, and it also gets the maximum pesanisa that is available. That's l'chora, I didn't say that's what I do, that's l'chora what the din should be. So do we ever have any kinds of setups that a pattern like Chazal that have that replication of like a batim and chateris, that kind of stuff? So this was a big machlokes, the Gedolei Olam in Eretz Yisrael 70-80 years ago. This was a big machlokes about apartment buildings. So apartment buildings may be the closest thing that we have to model that that kind of a thing. Why? Because we have private apartments, and the apartments open up into kind of like chateris, it's hallways, or hallways open up to the stairways and to the lobby. So that's all considered to be like a chatzer. That's most, the Bnei Rosh Hashanah don't come into my lobby. Most people don't spatzer into the lobby of an apartment building. So the people who come there, either the people who live there, or people who come to visit the people who live there. So yeah, you can't call the lobby Rosh Hashanah Mamish. So it's like the chatzer of the batim, of the private batim. And then you have that chatzer, that lobby of the apartment building opens up into the street. So if you follow the model of Tosus, it would sound like the best place to light the menorah would be in front of the apartment building. That would be a gewaldig model. That would be a perfect replica of Shiva's Tosus. That's what the Brisker Rav held. Brisker Rav held, if you live in an apartment building, so that's the best place to light. So many people don't show light like that. They live in apartment buildings, they go up to the menorah, they live on the fifth floor, they put the menorah down on the first floor, right by the entranceway of the lobby, and that's the Pesach HaChotzer. So that's what the Brisker Rav held. And the Chazon Ish held that wasn't right. The Chazon Ish held that apartment building lobbies are not the equivalent of the chateris of old. Because remember we said that there's a dilemma the Chazal had. They wanted it to be in the bayis. So they want it to be in the bayis, so how does it help in the chatzur? The chatzur is not the bayis. And the answer is the chatzur is a mature of the bayis. What makes the chatzur part of the bayis? The Chazanish says, because people do private kinds of things in the chatzur. It means the chatzur is not a public property. People don't... People are, they're a little bit more laid back in the chatzah. They'll hang up their laundry. They'll hang up their undershirts in the chatzah. You wouldn't do that in the middle of the street. And those are things that are very chatzah oriented. A guy will sit with his shorts on, maybe on the chatzah, things like that. Those are things you wouldn't do in the middle of the street. So the Chazon Ish said, so a chatzah of old was considered to be like a backyard. It was like a shared backyard, but it was basically fundamentally like a backyard. Hashem gave the lobby for the apartment building. Who goes to the apartment? Hangs up the laundry in the apartment building. Who spatzes and the hair fun dressed in the lobby of an apartment building? So people view that as being, I'm already out in public already. The other people are 100 neighbors in the same building. People don't act in, it's not my private house. This is it's indoors. Like, it's not public mamish, but it's far cry from the chatzur of the days of Chazal. Therefore, the Chazon Ish thought that if you light on the Pesach chatzur of the apartment building, it's like lighting in the street. I mean, it's not mitzvah of the abayas at all. Maybe you're not even yotzei. It's no shaychus deal. It's like lighting on the middle of Times Square. That's not your hadlok. You're not yotzei with that. You should or should not be lighting there for other reasons. Maybe we can talk about that later. But in terms of your personal hadlok, you're not yotzei in the middle of the street. So that was a big machlokes, the Chazon Ish and the Brisker Rav b'shaita. So this machlokes, the Chazon Ish and the Brisker Rav, yesh v'yesh. Some in Eretz Yisrael follow the Brisker Rav, others follow the Chazon Ish. So this machloek has now made it to the American shores. This became the focal point of the major debate in our very own yeshiva, on the walls of our yeshiva. This goes back, again, the history a little bit here. This goes back over 30 years ago already. So I'm married already, Hashem, I'm married 28 years. So this was when I was still in the bachur, I was still in the dorm. So all of a sudden, the yeshiva came up with the policy, you can't light in the dorm anymore. So in the Free of the Gedolim, when I first came to YU, everyone lived in, right outside their rooms. Used to walk down second floor, everyone had little menorahs set up on those little stands outside their doors. It was beautiful. Pesach Abayis, Pesach Chosmet. It was the Cholodeis. So then in the later years, as the years went on, one or two fires, and the yeshiva decided it's not the greatest idea in the world. You know the way guys used to light on a garbage can standing on top of a bookcase, that kind of stuff. So it wasn't so safe. So they decided everyone's got to light downstairs. It's a low ploy, everyone's got to light downstairs. Security guards there, and sure, everyone's got to light downstairs. So that first year, when they came up with that change in policy, haven't broke out in the yeshiva. Because the shiloh was, can I be Yitzhak? I mean, Yitzhak down where? In the lobby? In the lobby of what? I live in Rubin. I'm in Rubin. I'm in Warren. What was the lobby shaykh to me? So some quoted the Chazon Ish and said, the lobby is not shaykh to you. That the lobby is that's like lighting in the middle of the street, and you're not yaitzei b'chlal. So what do you do? I don't know. You got to figure out an eitz what to do. You can't light, and the security guard won't let you light in the room. She will take away your menorahs if you light in the room. You're not allowed to do that. Not allowed lobby. You got to go home. You got to figure out. Got to move into an apartment. I got to figure out an eitz what to do. So that's what some of the rabbanim in the yeshiva were of the opinion, based primarily on this chazanish. So the other rabbanim were okay with lighting in the lobbies based on the Brisker Rav. They felt that according to the Brisker Rav, this is the Brisker is there. Brisker is in Yerushalayim today. Light in the lobby of the chutz, right outside the lobby of the apartment building. So they were following that view of the Brisker Rav. That's the best. That's the Machabat Loch Shemachachila. So at the time, some of the rabbanim were advocating just lighting in the lobby and showing that's good enough. That's like lighting mamish by the chutz. So then others wanted to add on that it could be that the chaznish would be made to the YU dorms. Why? Because the chaznish is kapeda on the lobbies and the buildings was that people don't view that as their own private place. People don't walk around and half undress. And the YU dorms, and they spazier around in the lobbies all hours of the day and night, they half dress, undress. It's a hard riot because the same guys walk the street also that way. So it's hard to tell what the riot is. But I think there's still a little bit more of a feeling of coziness and hominess in the lobby than there is to the outside. So this bacha has been going on for 30 years plus in our yeshiva. So the same rabbanim who said 35 years ago you can't light in the lobby, still say you can't light in the lobby. The same rabbanim who said you can't light in the lobby. Then there was always that the mixed bag of the mus lobby was always a tricky one. So everyone here probably knows either in mus or you know the layout of mus. So mus, there really is no lobby. The lobby of mus is Klein Hall. It's Rabbi Simon's Bismedrish. So although it wasn't always Rabbi Simon's Bismedrish, it used to be, for those who want to know the YU trivia, that's where the Sfarim Zohar used to be. Can you imagine how small the Sfarim Zohar used to be? It used to be in Klein Hall, in the old Klein Hall. And before that was when the matzah sale used to be. They used to sell matzahs. The YU for years and years and years used to sell matzahs before Pesach. They had a matzah and a wine sale. And this was going on for years and years. You'd buy bottles of ketam wine, and you'd buy matzahs. I'm sure. Then, all of a sudden, they realized they can't do that. It was against the law because you need a liquor license to sell wine. So they stopped the wine. So, well, for years and years and years and years, they were selling that nobody ever allowed das. And so it was my word to them that's against the law. So they stopped selling wine. They continued to sell matzahs. Then they stopped selling matzahs. They stopped selling spam. They built a base manager, Klein Wall. And Rabbi Simon took it over. That's what happened in the last 45 years in the yeshiva. So at one kufa there, a lot of us were in mas. I was in mas of Bacha for many, many years in mas. So the whole pilpul was, is the mas lobby, is that worse than the morgue lobby? So yesh v'yesh. So someone argued it's worse because you don't really go down to the mas lobby that often. The morgue lobby, the Reuben lobby, you walk past the lobby all the time. So it's you can argue that's the best part of the year. The mas lobby, don't go down to so much. So in the old days, it was probably better because in the olden days, there used to be payphones in the mas lobby. So you know those things where the... You know where the YU trophies are by the, by the MTA trophies by the bathroom, that whole big trophy exhibit. That used to be payphones. Years ago, that was the YU payphones were there. So there used to be other sets of payphones in down by the outside the Klein Hall base matters. So guys would go down there. They think there's a little soda machine there. Guys would go down and get sodas in the middle of the night and make phone calls and etc. So there was a little bit of life in that part of the world. So that was the justification that you light there also. Now in the later years, I think now that guy's light in the lounge or something. No, must lounge or something. Is some must lounge? No, isn't there? I don't know. Something. Okay. So. Also Pesach Chatzah, something like that. So the bottom line is, this whole Pesach Bayis, Pesach Chatzah stuff is a very, very tricky place in terms of identifying properly the Machabat Mo. So notwithstanding this whole fuss in the Gemara, and the Rishayim, and the Shulchan Aruch, all about the Pesach Bayis, Pesach Chatzah, trying to get it right and everything, comes Tosfos in Masech HaShabbos and says, the whole sugi is over. The whole sugi is done. Why? He said, nobody lights outside anymore. Tosfos says, we don't light outside anymore. Why do we light outside? Because the Gemara says in Shabbos that if you live b'shasa sakana, so you shouldn't light outside. So the machlek is what that means. Sakana, they're going to kill you. Sakana, they're going to steal your neighbor. They're going to steal your menorah. Well, it's not clear what that means. They're going to blow out the candles. So whatever it is, the Gemara says b'shasa sakana, menichah shachana v'dayik. That you just put it on your table, and you close the doors, close everything, and just light for yourself and finish. So Taisa says that in the Middle Ages, we live b'shasa sakana, and it's the government going to take away our menorahs. They're going to kill us. They make crusades. They're going to steal menorah, blow out our candles. So we're going to light outside for us. We have no choice. We have to light inside. So Taisa says, aye, but no one's going to see the menorah. So what? So the B'nai Abayis will see the menorah. Like Bizman Chazal, b'shasa sakana, menichah shachana v'dayo. That's good enough. So b'diyeva, that's good enough. So Taisa writes, Bizman Hazel, we have a minute we light b'fanim. So that's a question. Does that observation of the Balei HaTosfos, that makes sense b'zman hazeh. So for many hundreds of years in Europe, that was the practice. They told the war, nobody lived outside, because they were all assuming that the goyim floating around, the goyim weren't too friendly in those days, and they could take away the menorahs and shoy. The question is, what do you do now? So many of us live in communities where that wouldn't necessarily be a concern. So the HVH, so there are some who want to say Chadash Shemini Kedem, should go back to the older look and go light the Pesach Chatzim B'chutz. So that's the practice many people have in Eretz Yisrael, that they light outside Eretz Yisrael, mostly stay in Eretz Yisrael, if he's Jewish, they wouldn't take him in Eretz away. So that's okay. The question is in Chutz L'Oretz. Depends where you live in Chutzlars. You live in New Square, you live in Manrani, you live in places where Lagamre, everyone's Jewish, and then you could discuss. Maybe we should go back to the old style of lighting. If you live in places, Baruch Hashem, Bergenfeld, a lot of Jewish people, we still have non-Jews in our block. We still have, there's probably somebody who will call the fire department if they start seeing menorahs lined up all over. It could be that the town's not going to be happy with this. Nobody tried. We're not sure. So we don't want to ask for trouble. We'll try and build the shul first. Yes, we build the shul, then we'll worry about lighting the nerves outside. So we're first things first. So the minig in most communities in Chutz La'aretz is to assume that that these dinim still, that the shas sakonah to some degree still exists, even though it's not a sakonah, nefashos ba'amish. But it's still, it's still a concern. We do have non-Jewish neighbors, and we don't want to rock the boat. So we can assume that mikra dinim, we can light the inside bizman hazeh. Well, yes, it's ace. The Gemara says that let's say you have the opportunity to have a little bit of both. You want a light inside. On the other hand, you want people to see it. So the Gemara says, "Meish lo chalom, so pushes around." If you have a window that's facing the window, facing the street, that's great. That's gavaldik. So of course, you should light there. Then you get as much persimmonies as possible. So that's become it's that middle ground that become kind of the minigus role for deridaris. That most of us are not afraid to going in and come break into our houses and conflict the menorahs in our houses. And they see the menorah, so they'll see candles in the windows. No one's going to call the fire department, see candles burning in your window. So therefore, the minhag olam is that we put our menorahs in the window. We try to maximize a little bit of persimmonies. So the only problem is that you can only put them in the window and count that as a hadlaka if the B'nai Shisram is going to see it. Someone's going to see it. Let's say you have a window that doesn't face Shisram, if a window that faces a brick wall somewhere. So, what are you putting in the window for? No one's going to see anything. It's not a halach moshe sitting, it's got to be in the window. The window is supposed to be a way of maximizing B'si Menisa. Let's say you live in the 17th floor and everyone on the bottom is not going to see it because the rest is above 20 amos. Nobody's standing and walking the streets like that. So no one's going to see him in there anyway. So then the person would say, so don't put him in the window. So then, a lot of people, when they live in higher floors, they don't bother putting it in the window. A lot of people still like to put it in the window. Why? Because people could still see it very often as opposite other windows. So sometimes you can argue, it's not the B'nai Mishus Rabbim seeing it, but at least there's a little bit of Pesimineza. So many people, if there's somebody opposite you, say there's nobody opposite you, you're opposite a wall, so then you gain nothing by putting it in the window. So again, if you have some kind of Pesimineza that's potentially salvageable by putting it in the window, you live in a private house, you're in the ground floor, you should put it in the window that faces the most possible traffic. I remember the first year when we moved to Bergenfield, the very first night of Chanukah, those who know the layout of the streets in Bergenfield, so the street that I'm on, Rector Court, runs parallel to Windsor Road. Windsor Road is a major, major thoroughfare. Rector Court is a handful of people going to our Torah, not too many people coming to Rector Court. So I remember the first night of Chanukah, the first year we moved in, so there was an unbelievable amount of traffic going down that block. Like hundreds and hundreds of cars were going, I couldn't figure out what was going on. And I figured it out. New rabbi moved to that, and I was going to see him. So I explained to him, it was pouring rain that first night, and Windsor Road had flooded. So Windsor is it's a flood zone in Windsor Road. So half the time it's underwater whenever you have good rain. So all the traffic was being diverted to Rector, because we're the parallel street. So I got to follow. So every Chanukah, I hope there rains. A lot of rain, more persimmonies. Okay, anyway, so back to our story. So the chur you see from this whole story is that Chazal did not misak in stam to light. In the maximum persimmonies. If they didn't misak into light in the middle of the street, that would have been the greatest halacha, because they wanted to keep it bias-oriented to some degree. So that's why the Rishonim have a lot of trouble. The Rav Asher has a big problem with the minig Yisrael. There's an age-old minig that we light in shul. So we light in shul, we make a bracha. Light in shul, make a bracha. So who's yotz in shul? Yes, there's nobody's yotz in shul. So what are we lighting in shul for? So it's some kind of persimmonies, some kind of a reason why we're lighting in shul. So the Rav Asher says, but the Maaseh not yotze. If you're not yotze, you have to light again when you get home. So what right do you have to make a bracha? So there is a machlokes every Rishonim to make a bracha on Minhagim. So the Gemara says in Tainis that there's a minhag to say halal and Rosh Chodesh. In the days of the Gemara, it wasn't even a universal minhag. Some communities, yes, some no. Today it's a universal minhag. Everyone says halal Rosh Chodesh. It's machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam. If you make a bracha that halal, so Rabbeinu Tam says yeah, and the Rambam says I can make a bracha. It's not a mitzvah derais, nish mitzvah derabban. I could take shech mishav mitzvah zivanim. So Rabbeinu Tam is a whole razzle dazzle approach with the Priska Rav, the Taisus, the whole story. Why are we allowed to make a bracha? That's what Ashkenazim, most Ashkenazim, do make a bracha on halal Rosh Chodesh. So Ashkenazim, it's okay to make a bracha lalik nesh shochanaka because in shul because it's only minig, but it's a minig that would warrant a bracha. The problem is the Shulchan Aruch quotes the minig also. The Shulchan Aruch in Uchus Rosh Chodesh says you don't make a bracha minhagim. So that's a big kala. So we're not quite sure what the answer to that question is. Different akram, different answer to that question. But one thing is pretty clear that you're not really, I'd say, and somehow shuls are different. The ability to make a bracha somehow is something unique about a shul. So there's a machlekes later poskim. What is it about a shul that enables you to make a bracha? So Rosh Shturmich writes that it's a mokum pirsum. It's a mokum pirsum, and he said that's it. No, you're not really yitzay, but there's a special takana, minik takana, whatever you want to call it, a pirsum and nisa, and you can even make a bracha on that. According to that part, l'chora, you should be able to make a bracha if you like. Let's say you're having a big event somewhere in a stadium. You want to make a bracha. Maybe a daf yomi see him in Metlavan. You're making a big event, so you want to make a bracha. And I'd love his name. So maybe that would be okay. Also, you're having a shul dinner, not in a shul. You're having a shul dinner in a hotel. So it's a makom rabim. You're having a wedding in a hotel. Yeah, it's a makom rabim. So you can make a bracha. That's the chora what the din should be according to Rosh Shturmich's idea. It's not clear whether Rosh Shturmich would actually say that, but chora that's what should follow. So others didn't like that. Others said that something very unique about a shul. So the Rav said it's a havlochas at tzibur because the shul is at tzibur because the daven mechamayev. So it's a chavos shem tzibur. You have 1,000 guys together at a ball game. It's not a tzibur. It's 1,000 yechidim sitting around watching the ball game. It's only called a tzibur. It's only called a tzibur. They're coming together to daven. That's why the Rav said, "Well, we dafka light dafka to mechamayev because." You can't light after Meir. After Meir, davening's over. Davening's over, so it's too late to light. You have to light Dafka when the Tzibur's still Mitzur B'yachad. Even though it's after Meir, and we make a club, everyone should stay. So the Rav said, after Meir's over, it's 1,000 people just hanging around in shul, singing Mo's Tzur. That's not a Tzibur. It's only a Tzibur when they're in the middle of Tefillahs. So between Beim and Chlamayr, that's when you light. It's a famous part from the Rav. So according to the Rav, you can only light if it's Mamish shul, but there's a functioning davening, Amin Chlamayr, Kedasu Chedin. That was always the Shail in the old Beis Medrash. The old Beis Medrash. Nachwa. I learned in the morning. We called the old Beis Medrash. So it used to be called the Beis Medrash. The old Beis Medrash, there used to always be a minion there for Mincha Meirev because the Baal Batim, there used to be a lot of older Baal Batim who lived in Washington Heights. There was always a minion there for Mincha Meirev every night. So they would light. They still take the menorah there. Anyone ever davened there in Chanukah? They still light with a bracha. They still light. Yeah, the old Beis Medrash, yeah.
I think they still
light with them. They used to for years. They lit with them, even though there was no minyan anymore. The Baal Batim weren't alive anymore. So there hasn't been a minyan there for 30 years. So they, that was what it was. They take out the same menorah, that menorah every year. You know that old menorah that they have in the old Beis Medrash. Take a look. Take a look at the old menorah in the Beis Medrash. So you'll see that the candles are not exactly lined up properly. They're all bent out of shape. So every year, there's always a new guy in yeshiva. Whenever he's in yeshiva, he starts snooping around, telling everyone, no, the menorah is no good. It's not shaped properly. The candles are not leveled. I saw with my own eyes, with David Lifshitz used to stand there when they would light the menorah. But that menorah hasn't changed. It hasn't gotten straightened. It hasn't gotten broken in the last 50 years. That menorah has been around. It probably came from Europe, that menorah. And David Lifshitz would supervise that and locus and neighbors. So they used to have a bunch of stairs in that menorah in between Mincha Meirev. The problem was when Mincha Meirev stopped, so the old year before Gemach was built, so they used to, Kol said he used to learn there. So they would give a clap in the beam of 4:30, Bashkia, and they would give a clap and they would light the menorah with brachas. So some didn't like that. They said, but we're not davening anymore. There's no Mincha Meirev anymore. Mincha was 2:30. Meirev was going to be at 6:15. So we're lighting the menorah at 4:30. It's in the middle of afternoon. Say it's not a shul. It's not functioning as a shul anymore. So yeshvix. I don't know what they do. My guess is they probably still do that. Minhagim BeMoayu take very, very long time to change. Remember, who has been here for Shabbos, like in the springtime? What time is Mincha in the springtime?
Very late.
Huh?
Very late.
Now they have a late one? But there used to be a 6 o'clock one. Is this the one? For Deire Deiris, the only Mincha, now they changed it finally. For Deire Deiris, the Mincha in May and June, after they changed the clock, the Mincha in the spring and the summer was 6 o'clock. Shabbos Mincha. Not Friday, so Shabbos after Mincha. It's not Mincha Gedoyle, it's not before Shkiyah. So what am I, 6 o'clock? The answer is that Rav Dov Lifshitz, Mishalom, used to give a shia to the Balabatim right after Mincha. They would have Mincha at 6, we would have 6:20, we give a shia for now, and then everyone would go home to teach El Shudas. So Mincha was always 6 o'clock. The problem was, Rav Dov wasn't alive anymore, the Balabatim weren't alive anymore, the shia hadn't been said in 40 years, and Mincha was still 6 o'clock. So it took them, but finally, I think in recent years, they finally got rid of him. But when I was still living in the Heights, they still had 6 o'clock, and Rav Dov had already passed away. So it takes a long time for things to change around here. Anyway, so back to that story. So there are different opinions about these hadlokas and these mekemes rabim. So what can you do with it? Certain communities are very into this stuff, and they light candles on the bridge and Times Square and Grand Central Station and everywhere they light menorahs all over the place with brachas. And others say that that's not right. Others say it's tamups. You don't really accomplish anything with that. Is it nice for kirum? Maybe, I don't know. But it's not as, you can't really justify making a bracha. That's the yesh v'yesh. So some posts came okay with it, other posts came. We're not so happy about those practices. So the bottom line is that the halakha is very, very much bias-oriented. And again, Bizman Chazal, the lighting was pretty much geared primarily towards the B'nai Rosh Hashanah. Because we're trying to walk the tightrope and light the bias, the chutz the bias, the chutz the chutz, but we're gearing towards B'nai Rosh Hashanah, that's why the Gemara makes such a fuss as to when this B'nai halakha is, that you have to time your halakha perfectly, because the B'nai Rosh Hashanah are not walking in the streets a lot of hours of the night. So you have to make sure that you get your halakha bizman with the B'nai Rosh Hashanah there, otherwise you defeated the whole purpose. The whole purpose was to light Pesum and Nisa, and now there's nobody there to watch it, so we'll go for Pesum and Nisa. So that's why the Gemara, the Chafal from Beis and Shabbos, is very, very careful with Chut HaSaira to try to fine tune when exactly this B'nai halakha is. So the Tchila's B'nai halakha is tricky, and the Sol's B'nai halakha is tricky. So the Gemara uses two phrases to describe the Tchila and the Soif. So the Tchila, the Gemara uses the phrase, which is a very, very loaded phrase, at least three different ways to understand what that phrase means. And then the Gemara uses the phrase, which is also, you have to figure out what in the world that means. So sometime between those two bookends, you have to have your Adlaka. So we don't know yet what that means. We don't know what Shachacham means. We don't know what Shachacham means. The only thing we do know is that Tosfos has an observation of that Gemara. Tosfos says, wait a second, maybe this whole Gemara doesn't apply for us. Because this makes sense if you're lighting towards the B'nai Rishis Rabbim, so then you got to fine-tune your lighting. If you're lighting for the B'nai Bayis, because you've already closed the doors, you close the windows, with B'nai, and nobody's looking out from outside anyway, so you're lighting, so who cares when the B'nai Rishis Rabbim are? They're not going to see the menorah anyway. So we should change the whole Gemara. Instead of Ashtichachachachachachach Mashuk, it should be whenever the B'nai Bayis are around. That should be a news manadlo. So the Balatai is a bit of a news manadlo. It wasn't a chiddush, it was just extension, extrapolation of the principle. If you're changing the makhbab locus of a male, this manadlo, it's got to follow suit as well. So that opens up a whole new world for us. What was manadlo for Zman Chazal? What is manadlo for us for Zman Hazeh? So stay tuned, but next week we'll try to get this all in place before Chanukah. Okay.